my Kabubian. Hello, friends, and greetings once again in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And, beloved, that's so true. I trust that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Oh, he is so good and so wonderful. And what a privilege, what a joy to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to be his and belong to him. Oh, I tell you, beloved, that is real living, to know Jesus, for he is life eternal. Today we're again looking into Romans chapter 5. If you have time to get your Bible, I trust you'll look with us to Romans chapter 5 as we're considering and thinking about this wonderful gift of salvation and what it means to be a child of God. How many times people of God do not have an understanding of who they are. They do not see themselves for who they are. And they live like who they were before they received Christ as Savior. They live defeated, miserable, wretched Christian lives when God intends for us to walk in victory, to live in victory, to live like more than conquerors, to be the overcomers that he has made available so that we can be overcomers to his glory, honor, and praise. A basic foundation truth to remember, beloved, is 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where the Lord tells us through the Apostle Paul to remember that we are a triune being. We are a triune being. Let me read it to you again. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And that word sanctify means cleanse and make you whole, make you holy, every bit of you, your whole being. And then he describes our whole being. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, there's indwelling sin within this body. But even though there's indwelling sin in this body, and it's under the curse of sin, and this body is going to die, we can bring this body into subjection to the obedience of Christ. We can bring it under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can use this body to the honor and glory and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though sin indwells this body. Beloved, the Spirit is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And as a child of God, you can choose to walk after the flesh or to walk after the Spirit. To walk after the Spirit means victory. It means the overcoming life. It means the life that is more than a conqueror. It is the victorious life. It is the more abundant life. It is everything that God desires for you and for me. But, beloved, to walk after the flesh is to live a defeated, miserable, wretched life, to live under the control of sin, to live under sins working in your life and sinful habits ruling in your life, and you're confessing it and repenting and going back and doing the same thing over and over again. That kind of a merry-go-round, that kind of going around Mount Sinai one more time. Oh, beloved, God doesn't want that for you and me. Just like he did not want the children of Israel to continue to march around Sinai and to live a miserable, wretched, defeated life. He wrought all kinds of marvelous miracles for Israel, showing his power to them, providing abundantly for them. But they continued to rebel against God, and they continued to say no. He brought them to the edge of the promised land. He was ready to lead them into the promised land, but they would not by faith enter in. And beloved, the victorious life involves faith. That's why four times in the Scripture the Bible says the just shall live by faith. It says it in the Old Testament once, it says it in the New Testament three times. Now the just shall live by faith. And beloved, it takes faith to enter in and to claim and to accept what is yours in Christ Jesus. But the reason many Christians live defeated, miserable, wretched Christian lives is because they do not believe God. They do not take Him at His word. They accept Him as Savior, but then they try to live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh, and you cannot do it, beloved. You will live a miserable, wretched, defeated life as long as you try to live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. It will be a legalistic life that will be defeated. Only can we walk in victory as we allow the Spirit of God to possess us and as we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So this is what the Apostle Paul is leading the Roman Christians into. As he's discussing this and setting a foundation here in Romans 5 to help them to realize and understand what is theirs in Christ Jesus. And so in verse 19 of Romans 5, Paul says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners." You see, Paul repeats this over and over again to help us to understand because of Adam's sin, we became sinners through Adam. We inherited that sinful nature from our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam all the way back to Adam. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Beloved, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. We who put our faith and trust in Him, and Paul's trying to drive home this truth that God sees you as righteous because God looks at the heart, not on the outward appearance. You remember concerning the choosing of a new king for Israel, and God sent Samuel to the family of Jesse, and he was looking for a new king for Israel, and Eliab came along, and different ones of the sons of Jesse came along, and Samuel would say, "Surely this is the one God has chosen." And God said, "No, this is not the one. This is not the one. This is not the one." And finally, they ran out of sons, and he said, "Jesse, don't you have any more children?" And he said, "Well, there's one more. He's a young lad that's out taking care of the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We'll not eat the feast until that young man comes." And so they sent for David. And God said, "This is the man. This is the man." Because God looks not at the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And this is a man who will be after my own heart. This is a young man who will obey me. This is a young man who will walk by faith and not by sight. How was it that David was able to conquer Goliath? It wasn't by David's strength. It wasn't by David's physical abilities, but it was through faith in Jesus Christ. He said, "God will give me the victory." Saul wanted to load him down with his armor and put all of his armor on him. 1 Samuel 17 gives the account. If you want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, there you'll read the account of the battle and the problem that was confronting the children of Israel, and how that they had had 40 days of fear because every time Goliath would come out, why, the children of Israel would flee because he was a giant, and every one of them was operating in the energy of the flesh. And when they saw that giant, they said, "There's no way we can conquer him." But here's little David. And little David says, I will do it in the power of the living God. I will do it for God's sake. I will do it for His glory. I will do it for His honor, because he's looking for someone who's willing by faith to go and face Goliath. And he said, God will deliver him into my hands. Oh, beloved, it's the life of faith that is the life of victory. And that's the kind of life that God would have for you and for me. And so Saul wanted to load David down with his armor, and David said, no, I haven't tested it. And that means I haven't experienced whether it will work or not. And he said, I want to be clothed with the armor of God. I will go in His strength. I will go in His power. I will go in His might. And David told Saul about meeting the lion and meeting the bear in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34. David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. Notice that. He killed the lion, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. I mean, he had hand-to-hand combat with that lion, but he was doing it not in his own strength, but in the power of the Lord. He was trusting the Lord, and he put on the armor of God. That is, he experienced how that God would give him the victory and how that God would deliver him. And so he said, verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Who is David thinking about? He sees the enemy as the enemy of God. He's not looking at Goliath as his personal enemy, but rather as the enemy of God. And he's going to go out to face Goliath in the power of the Lord and in the armor of the Lord, not in his own ability and in his own strength. Verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. You see, he said, God delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He said, God was the one that delivered me. I didn't do it. It was God that delivered me. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. He will do it. God will do it. The battle is the Lord's, beloved. He will conquer this giant. He will give victory over this giant. He will deliver this giant into my hand. And, beloved, God did exactly that. And God wants to conquer the giants in your life. He wants to give you victory in your life, not in the energy and the flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit of God and under the anointing of God. Till next time, goodbye.